Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
One more running back behind Moore with a slot to the left. And fumble on the play.
They got
the snap.
They got it.
I think the Patriots have it.
Looks like Wilford
recovered by Vincent Wilford.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and how you doing? Thanks for joining me once again, and also joining Kevin also. Kevin Collins, our wonderful producer here on the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com, doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Email me if you can, webradio at patriots.com, and also Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. Of course, you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. That's how you get a hold of me. We got the very talented Tom E. Curran coming your way with me, joining me after 4:30. And why don't you hear the Bill Belichick press conference today? As I was saying to John, the crossover, it's a type of little type of mini spat that TC and the coach got into today that will get so overblown and overhyped, but we'll get Tom's thoughts on it. Anyway, love to hear from you guys. And we'll talk to Tom about the Patriots and Tom Brady's dinged up left shoulder and what he thinks is going to happen this week and how long he thinks he's going to play. I think, you know, depending on the score, he could end up playing the whole game or he could end up playing a half, depending on what happens. But I do think it is going to be interesting. And the Dan Marino record scenario is also interesting because Brady only needs 190 yards to break that record, which is Drew Brees' record now. So I think it's going to be interesting with New Orleans and Carolina also playing at 1 o'clock to see what happens. I mean, if Brees only plays a half, who knows, man? Maybe, and, you know, he could end up with 200 yards and a half easily. We know that. But who knows in the end? It could end up being Brady with the record when it's all said and done. Doubtful. He'd probably have to pass for over 400 yards. But certainly... it's a possibility, depending on how long Drew Brees plays. But I think we can all agree that Tom Brady more than likely is going to also pass Dan Marino's record because he only needs 190 yards to break Brees's, to get to Brees. So we'll see what happens. But your thoughts on what do you think? Again, the Patriots, the injury report today, again, it should be out any second, but... we know that it was Brady, Sebastian Vollmer, and Logan Mankins were not there for the immediate portion of the workout, but Matt Light was. Matt Light was, so that's a good sign. So I'm sure that the injury report will be out momentarily if it's not already, and Kevin will run it into me. Jonathan on Facebook right away says, "Hey, Meat, love that name. Atlanta loves you. Keep it up." All right. Love Atlanta. Well, I've been to Atlanta twice. Nice, you know. Unless you get stuck in the airport, then you're in big trouble. Anyway, lots going on. Once again, lots of interesting playoff scenarios coming up. I think it's interesting with the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys coming up. I think the game that I am going to be most interested in, besides the Patriots, no question, is going to be Kyle Orton going into Denver with Kansas City Chiefs. I cannot wait for that, because I really believe that the Chiefs are going to win that game. And quite possibly knock Denver out of the playoffs, depending on what happened with the Raiders, if they hang in there and they beat the San Diego Chargers. Oakland will be at home. But there's some interesting scenarios. And thanks, Kev. The injury report is out, so here you go. As I just said, Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, and Sebastian Vollmer did not participate today. You know, Brady has a dinged up left shoulder, but he's going to be okay. These are all limited. Everybody else was limited today. Arrington, Branch, Chung, Conley, Edelman, Fletcher, Adeyebo, Light, McCourty, Ninkovich, Slater, Spikes, Vereen, Waters, Welker, and White. As most of those players made the Pro Bowl anyway. So there you go. Congratulations to all those guys. And it's too bad Aaron Hernandez got screwed, but he did. But that's all right. It does happen. And he's going to see his share of Pro Bowls too, believe me. And people forget, too, that, don't forget, Aaron did not play in the last game, week three, against Buffalo. Did not play in that game, which is kind of scary for the Bills. I just think this is going to be, I really think the Patriots are going to come out and smack this team around. I do. I think that Tom very may well be sitting out the fourth quarter in this one, because I didn't think they're going to get that. I think they're really going to jump out to a lead in this one. Maybe not 21-0 right away, but I think they will have a very comfortable first half lead in this game, and they're going to cruise. I just don't trust the Bills the way they played last week, and you know they had Tim Tebow to thank for that for the most part. I hate to talk about Tebow again, but I have to in reference. Did anybody see ESPN First Take this morning? And they do that show every day from 10 to noon, and they repeat it. It is absolutely hysterical to watch Skip Bayless try to defend Tim Tebow. He just will not listen to reason. And Stephen A. Smith, who I used to have kind of a love-hate relationship with now, I really do like him. He really is a great entertainer, and I think he knows his stuff in all the sports, even though he's a big-time New York fan. I don't think, except for the Knicks, I don't think the rest of it, I don't think clouds his judgment. I mean, there's no question. I think clouds his judgment when it comes to the Knicks, hearing some of the stuff he said over the weekend. But it was hysterical to watch him rip Skip Bayless apart this morning for 2 hours. I mean, it was just absolutely very entertaining, I must say. You know how I feel about a lot of the stuff on ESPN and NFL Network. But it was very entertaining, and Stephen A. Smith really let him have it. And for some reason, just Skip Bayless, and he's not the only one. They just refuse to look at the facts. He keeps bringing up, you know, Bayless will keep bringing up, you know, he won 7 out of his first 8. All that, but instead of just looking into why he won. And it was more about the team than him. Much more about the team than him. And then he tries to spin it that the loss was on the defense because Brian Dawkins didn't play. I mean, just absolutely hysterical. Absolutely hysterical. Anyway, but we digress. But there's a lot of interesting games to talk about coming up this week, and the Patriots and Bills obviously are one of them. And like I said, I just don't think this one's going to be close. I really don't. And people will say, and finally, I mean, you heard Matt Leitz say it yesterday. You heard Tom Brady talk about it today, and maybe we'll play him as well sometime. And it's the only now people are finally starting to talk about what I've been talking about from yesterday. And if you watch the game from start to finish, you know when you lost Logan Mankins and you lost Matt Leitz so early on in that game, there is no question. It had a tremendous effect on Brady in that offense. No question about it, because it was so last second. But finally, people are getting it. And I don't expect that kind of slow start to happen this week. I really don't. And by the way, the Patriots in points allowed, now they're at 14 still. 21.4 points a game, 14th allowed. Here are the teams in back of them, okay? In back of them, points allowed. Which means worse. New Orleans. Atlanta, Arizona, Chicago, Washington, Kansas City, Detroit, the Jets, San Diego, St. Louis, Denver, Carolina, Buffalo, the Giants. All the teams are in back of them. There are a few more I left out, Minnesota, and, you know, why waste time? So there you have it. 14th, right around the middle of the pack, a little bit better than the middle of the pack in points allowed. And that's what they do. And I was telling John, and I was thinking about this, and Colin might have brought it up and made it somewhat of a similar analogy, but that Ravens team from this year reminds me very much of the Patriots back in 2009, where they had a real difficult time winning on the road. Every game was just like you just didn't know, because the Patriots were at home, and especially in the first half of games, looked real good. Second half of games, a lot of times did not, particularly on the road. You remember in 09, they just could not. There were several times. I remember at Denver when they lost like 19-16. There was another loss. They were humiliated in New Orleans. And then they had a tough loss in Miami. And it was all because they just could not get that extra first down. But you look at the Ravens and their road woes, and they got some issues. And I think they're going to lose again on Sunday. And then you got the playoff scenario. Still, I really believe when it's all said and done, that is going to be Pittsburgh getting the number 2 seed, because I think they're going to beat Cleveland, and Baltimore will be the number 5. So it'll still be Houston and Cincinnati, but you're going to have Baltimore and Pittsburgh flippity flop, because Baltimore will end up 11-5, and Pittsburgh will end up 12-4. Regardless, despite the fact that Baltimore beat them twice, obviously, they'll have the better record by a game. So that's the way it is. So if that's the case, it's either going to be Baltimore at Denver or Baltimore at Oakland, more than likely. That's going to be the case. There's still a chance Denver can back in. If they lose and Oakland loses, Denver backs in as an 8-8 division winner, which I know that's what the NFL is rooting for. And to be quite honest with you, it would be interesting either way, but I just think the Chiefs are going to beat them. I really do. I think the Chiefs are going to beat them. It's tough to handicap that game, the Oakland Raiders hosting the San Diego Chargers. They're both Jekyll and Hyde teams. You don't know what teams are going to show up. I have to go back to them. I'm just checking on San Diego's schedule here for 1 second because I want to see they lost to Oakland at home. San Diego lost to Oakland at home 24-17. So they did lose to Oakland at home 24-17, which right was in there the midst of they 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, that's when they were in the midst of their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-game losing streak. So then after that pathetic loss to Denver, it's when they came back. They win at Jacksonville easily. They win home against Buffalo easily. They win at home against Baltimore easily. And they get killed at Detroit. And then they're at Oakland. So that's a tough game to call. That could go either way. That game could go either way. It also depends on which Carson Palmer shows up. But all in all, just a whole lot of interesting scenarios. But, you know, we should get to, let's go, because Tom's coming on. So let's hear from head coach Bill Belichick early today, this press conference. And he gets into it a little bit a few minutes in.
Should turn this over to you, Chris. All right, well, hope everybody had a good holiday weekend. We're back at it here with Buffalo. It's really had an impressive game last week against Denver, and a lot of good football players there. Real explosive offensively with the quarterback, the running back, all the receivers. They make a lot of big plays in the kicking game, block kicks and returns with McKeldin and of course Spiller and Rogers now taking over on the kick returns. And defensively, turnover team. Team takes the ball away a lot. They did it against us, did it against Denver. Where statistically, we're two of the better teams in terms of that, but they got both of us, so we're gonna have to do a good job there. Pro Bowl, always happy for the guys that made it. There's always other guys that probably were, worthy of it, but that's the way it goes. We don't have a lot of control over that. But most importantly, moving on here to our last regular season game, try to continue to improve, get some things worked out, and take advantage of this opportunity against a good football team that did a good job against us in the first game. Hopefully we can be more competitive this time.
Bill, obviously, Buffalo started out pretty good at 5-2, and then they lost all those games in a row. From what you've seen in the games that you've watched, what happened to them from the beginning of the season through the middle of the season, and that they corrected what caused them to lose all those games?
Well, they've been a lot of close games all year. Some they've won, some they've lost, but they've been very competitive. Like the Jets game is a good example. It came down to the last play. Our game came in the last possession, so. They're in every game really, and it just comes down to who makes the plays at the end of the game. Them or their opponents. But they've been solid all year, really have, in all three phases of the game. Good in the kicking game. They've been able to move the ball and be productive on offense. They've got a lot of takeaways on defense, and they've got a good front. Got guys that can cover. They had some transition on their team throughout the course of the year, but. Through all that, they've I think Chan's done a really good job, kept that team improving, and they're sailing forward. So I don't think I worry as much about the record as just watching the team play and seeing what they do on film, and they do a lot of things well.
Coach Mark Dondero, WCBI TV, Columbus, Mississippi. Happy holidays. Could you just talk a little bit about defensive progression and the progression of Kyle Love as a football player?
You know, Kyle was, of course, undrafted last year, came in and made our team, had a good solid rookie year for us, and his build on that has improved on in terms of his techniques and understanding the NFL game, pass rush moves, things like that. And, you know, he's gotten a lot better, solid player, works hard, a great kid to be around. You know, he's added a lot to us. Yeah, I mean, he did a good job, but, you know, John's had a lot of success against everybody.
I think it froze.
Ooh. That happens. It'll unfreeze in a second. All right, meanwhile, while Kevin's fixing that, let me read some Facebook mail. We're listening to Bill Belichick's press conference. He's about to get into it a little bit with he gets into it with Shalice first, and then Tom.
Yeah, he gets in like 10 minutes in. He gets into it with Shalice, and then Tom kind of comes to her defense a little bit.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So that's coming up. So we get it back. Oh no. Okay. We'll get it. We'll get it. We'll get it back in a second. A couple of Facebook. Let me read. Email me webradio@patriots.com. Gene and Daytona. Hi, Pete and Kevin. Brian Hoyer was playing late in the game a couple of weeks ago, and the other team came back and made it a 3 or 4 point game. They tried an onside kick, but we recovered it. Bill Belichick then sent Tom back in the game just to take the snap and a knee with seconds left to end the game. After I saw this, I felt bad for Brian Hoyer. He did nothing wrong, but was pulled to. So how can anyone think Tom will not start Sunday? And I believe he will play the whole game, even if he has a sore shoulder. I think he'll play most of the game, depending on the score. Hey, Peter, kind of mad that Matt Leiter didn't make the Pro Bowl selection. He's been outstanding this season. Also, did you get a chance to catch Rex Ryan's conference call on ESPN? I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I didn't get to hear it. Yeah, I just saw it up in the studio when we were here. Maybe we'll try and get a snippet of that as well. Yeah, it's disgraceful this year that Matt Leiter did not make the Pro Bowl. He had just a fantastic, fantastic year. He really did. But, you know, he and Hernandez both deserve to make it. Hi, guys. Steve from Canada writing in with some questions about the rise of the seemingly new era of passing. Number one, do you think the offense is now permanently ahead of the D, or will the D eventually catch up again? In other words, are these huge passing numbers here to stay? And number two, if we have moved to a new era, will the increased importance of offense result in declining salaries for defenders in the future? Keep up the great show. I hate the Jets, Steve. Now, it's an interesting question. It's one I brought up. I've been talking about this from day one this year, week one. And you got to realize, and it's even more, prevalent because it is happening at all levels of football. They showed the other night, I was watching, I think it was either Florida against Georgia or something, they had the Pop Warner Championship game on. And I know there was a team from East Lynn that made it to like the Elite Eight or something, and unfortunately they lost like 35-0, but still, it's quite an accomplishment just to get that far. You know, I'm not sure who won the game because I didn't spend enough time watching it, but I watched a good 10 or 15 minutes of it. You should have seen the passing plays in this game between these 12 and 13-year-olds, or 11, 12, and 13, however old they are. I'm telling you, they are starting, these spread offenses are being taught now at a much younger level. And when you get to high school, I mean, I'll guarantee it, I don't see a lot of high school games, but you can tell by some of the quarterbacks, not only in the New England area, but around the country, they are much more prepared now. These kids are ready to go to some of the, you know, the betters. And keeping it here strictly with D1 schools. When you make it to that level, they are so much more prepared now than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's not even close. And so I think that has a lot to do with it. And I do think the offenses for now are ahead. Obviously, I said this from day one, they're way ahead of the defenses. They still are. And that's why I think, despite, you know, Pittsburgh's defense at times and Baltimore's defense when they're playing at home, still inconsistent, and others. And I just think when you paint that broad brush again of the game gets short in the, you know, the playoffs, and you got to do this, and you can't outscore teams that, and the best defense is offense wins games, but defense wins championships, that kind of stuff. I think that's all gone. I think that's all gone. Most of it is. And I looked over San Francisco's schedule this year. I'm looking at they never came up against a highly prolific offense like the Patriots or the Packers or the Saints. You know, I don't care what their defense looks like. They haven't played anybody worth a damn that has that kind of offensive talent like those three teams. Not even close. So I would very much reserve judgment. And I know, they still need more balance. All they need to do is play decent. This Patriots defense, all they have to do is play decent. Because I just don't see, and I'm talking about the AFC champion, the AFC playoffs. Because in the Super Bowl, who knows what can happen? You can talk all you want if they get that far. Let me just finish my first point here. Coming here, you're going to have to score 30 or more to win. And I just don't see any team doing that. I just don't see it. You know, it's Houston, Denver, Oakland, or even Baltimore. I just don't see Baltimore coming in here and putting up 30 on the road. No way. And I know the character of this Patriot team. They have won a lot of different ways this year. Coming from behind. I mean, they haven't had a bunch of 17-14 games, as most people would, some broadcasters would like to see. It's not their fault. But they have, you know, this team has a ton of character. You know, they have a great coach and quarterback. Their offense's weapons are as good as anybody's. They may not have the vertical power that New Orleans and Green Bay has, but so what? New Orleans and Green Bay don't have some of the other weapons the Patriots have either. Different ways. So I'm really not worried. This year is, to me, it's a little bit, nothing's easy in the NFL, but on paper it looks easier for them to get there. I think so. With the number one seed. I just don't see teams like Houston, Denver, Oakland ever coming to New England and winning at all. Not even close. And even if Baltimore should win their playoff game, and I think they're going to be the 5 seed and be on the road to face whoever it is, either at Oakland or at Denver. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how anybody can predict that game. Now, if they end up playing Denver, it would be Tebow's, first playoff game. And that's depending on how he does against the Chiefs. I mean, like I said, Denver can back into the playoffs. They can lose to the Chiefs, which I think they will. And if Oakland loses to San Diego, Broncos are in. So I'd have to wait and see. But I don't know. I'd have a difficult time, as badly as Baltimore's played on the road. If Tebow and Broncos back into the playoffs, losing the last three games, and then have to go up against Baltimore, that'll be a very interesting game. Like I said, Baltimore's defense is not the same on the road as it is at home. It's not even close. So it'll be interesting. So do you think the passing numbers are here to stay? To answer your question, I think sports is cyclical. I'm not ever one ever to say never in sports, because too many times I've seen defenses catch up to offenses. Right now, this is the way the league is. And the rules have been. Let's put it this way. Referees are being asked to interpret them in a way that certainly helps offensive teams. It certainly helps the offense. And that's where we are right now. And I think we're going to be in this mode for a good, at least 3 to 5 years, 3 to 5 next years. And then we'll see. And it's hard to compare eras. It's hard to compare eras in any sport. That's why, somebody was asking me today, what do you think, how would the Patriots do with this offense? How would the Packers do with this offense? How would the Saints do with their current offenses? How would they do in the mid-1980s when Marino set that record and all that stuff? And my answer is, I think they'd do great. I think they would have set all records too. But you can't do that. It's because the game was different. The rules, the interpretation of the rules were different. Some of the rules didn't even exist. And again, if Dan Marino, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, in my opinion, still, if he were here, played in this era, he would do well. But, you take teams like the Patriots and Packers and Saints and put those kind of offenses in the 80s. And, yeah, Air Coryell and some of those San Diego teams with Chuck Muncy at running back. I mean, they were real good, But I don't think they were this good. I think all three of those teams I just mentioned, Pats, Packers, and Saints, just offer a different dynamic than some of those high-powered, prolific teams. And San Diego was the most famous for it back in the late 70s, early 80s. I mean, certainly had Dallas had had some really good teams. The Steelers had some really good teams. But if you want to talk about strictly from an offensive standpoint, who people were afraid of the most, it was no question it was the Chargers for a lot of years. And they only got to the AFC Championship. They never got to the Super Bowl until after. I mean, they got there against San Francisco later on in the 90s. But, they never got there. And it, as I said, it was unfortunate. In 1982, they had to play, after winning that incredible game against Miami, which was one of the greatest playoff games of all time. That was the hook and lateral game. And Chargers were up by 3 touchdowns early. And Miami came back, took the lead, and it was just a fantastic game. Kellen Winslow Sr. had one of the greatest games ever in the history of playoff football. But, they had to go to Cincinnati, Kenny Anderson, Chris Collinsworth, that team, in 1982. And the wind chill factor was minus 46. They had no chance coming out of the locker room to win that game. I mean, absolutely none. And they got killed. And it wasn't 50-0. I think it was 23-7 or something like that. But Fouts could never get it going. And Kenny Anderson did. The Bengals were used to playing in colder weather. Not like that, because that is still to this day the coldest weather I've ever seen. I know the Ice Bowl between Dallas and Green Bay back in the day, but that's the coldest wind chill I've ever seen for any sporting event. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get to Tom Curran, because apparently we have some little technical issues, but we'll get over it. Anyway, I have exactly the questions that Tom asked, and we will get, I can read you the responses from Bill, and then get Tom's reaction as well. Tom Curran from CSNNE will join us. You know, he does that great show, Quick Slants, and he's all over the place, and very entertaining guy. One of my good friends in the business, and we'll talk to Tom Curran right here on the Pete Shepard Show coming up right after this.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' Coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Welcome back to the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Call the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, here's your host, Pete Shepherd.
And back here on the Pete Shepherd Show here on Patriots.com. Email me, webradio@patriots.com, and you can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepherd, P-E-T-E-S-H-E-P-P-A-R-D. And also, call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. We'll try to hook up with Tom Karn from CSNNE coming up in just a couple of minutes. Gene says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Aaron missing those two games to injury. Hurt his Pro Bowl shot. He was our best tight end in preseason until the Bob Sanders hit in his knee that led to him slowed up a lot. He's just now getting back into the preseason form. I don't know about that. He did pretty good all year. Dolphins will beat the Jets so badly Sunday that Rex will be asked not to fly back with the team by the owner, and Joe Namath will be named head of football operations. KC and Kyle Orton will humiliate the Broncos in front of their home crowd.
Tebow will kiss you.
Exactly.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. Tebow will turn the ball over 5 times, and fans at Mile High will be chanting Orton, Orton, Orton as the players leave the field. Cincinnati will beat the Ravens in a close one as Rice runs for 100 yards, but Flacco turnovers kill any late-game heroics. Pittsburgh will lose at Cleveland to a fired-up Browns team. Oakland beats San Diego, and Norv is asked after the game to join Rex in Miami. Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about Pittsburgh losing to Cleveland. I would say that is highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. Anyway, I'm going to read to you what would happen in the press conference today, just so when we get Tom on, so you kind of know. And it started with Shalice Young of the Globe. She started it, the questions, and her question was, with quarterbacks around the league throwing for so many yards this year, what's really changed this year as opposed to several years ago when it wasn't as productive in terms of yards? And Bill says, I think we've seen production in the passing game. Look at Dan Marino. That was 20 years ago, or whatever it was. We're talking about that record now, standing for quite a while. I think it's all a function of execution. There have been great passers in this league for a long time, great receivers, great tight ends, great runners, great defenders. Sometimes each year it fails, falls a little bit differently. I don't have a great explanation for it. Next question. As a defensive coach, with all the rules that have been made the last few years, if Dan Marino was playing now, do you think he would have thrown for more yards? Bill, I don't know if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, it would every day be Christmas. I don't know. I have no idea. Now, see, that's where And I just brought that up before. You know, it's just very difficult to do that. You'd have those that would say great players would be great in any era, and then you have others that would disagree with that. I happen to think in this case, if Dan Marino were playing now, he'd be just as great. And I also think if you took the Patriots, Packers, and Saints offenses, the way they're constructed now, put them back in the 80s, they'd put up just the same kind of numbers. Do these rules help, though? The rules of not being able to hit quarterbacks and the inability to touch receivers downfield? Bill says, those rules have been in place for 15 years. Salish says, but there has been a bigger emphasis on them recently. Bill says, it's not a rule. Look, talk to the people who make the rules. They do all those studies. Trust me, they do all those studies. They know how long each game was and every year it was played, the length of time, the amount of penalties, the amount of yardage, the amount of rushing yards, the yards per carry, the yards per completion. All that's been studied very roughly by people a lot smarter than I am. I don't really know. I'm just trying to get ready for Buffalo, a team we didn't do well against last game. I'm just thinking about Buffalo. I don't really know all the statistics and all the rules and trying to solve all the world's problems in the passing game. I'm just trying to solve ours against Buffalo.
Am I really into solving the world's problems?
Thank you. And she goes on, it's just interesting that Marino's record stood until Monday. Bill says, yeah, it's a great story. I'm not really, last time I watched Marino throw, I don't know when that was. I'm just trying to concentrate on Buffalo. Next question. So you don't think there's anything to the fact that potentially three guys will break the record this year? And Bill says, do I think there's anything to it? What's that mean? And this is where Tom jumps in and throws his hands up in the air and says, well, it stood almost for 30 years. No one has done that, and now four guys are going to break 5,000 yards. The game is totally different. Bill says, if that's what you want to write about, go ahead. I don't know. Tom says, you're the expert. Bill says, I'm not an expert. I'm just trying to get ready for Buffalo. I'm not trying to analyze the passing game of the last 20 years. That's for people a lot smarter than me like you guys. And then the next question, the next reporter says, if you had the chance to rest the starters, will you take advantage of that? I mean, Bill says, we're preparing for the game like we prepared for the last 15. See, that's just how you start going into personnel decisions and stuff like that. It's just, you're never going to get anything relevant because you're going to get the vanilla answers because he probably doesn't even know. You have to see how the game pans out. So why is he going to come on the record and say, well, if the game and the score were like this, I'm going to do that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So I understand some of the questions. Now, my feeling is this. Now, before, and if it's one of those things where you have to hear the audio to kind of get. Now, it wasn't like Bill screaming at him. It got a little snippy, that's all. Nothing huge. But my feeling is that if Bill starts to try, if he starts talking about Dan Marino's record, and this is my thinking. You got it? We got it back? Okay. We should just fast forward to that part.
You guys are just an offensive line. Because that seems like a safety.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Yeah, I'm sure the knee brace, you know, prevented it from being a more serious injury. Yeah, our policies relative to equipment and so forth are, it would be a longer answer, but there's multiple things involved. Some things that are mandated by the league, there's other things that are handled by the teams, there's other things that aren't, so. There are different requirements by the league. There are different requirements by the individual teams, and not all equipment is covered in any or all of that. So, without getting into specifics about a lot of different things, that's a general answer to that question.
Quarterbacks around the league for so many parts this year. What really changed this year opposed to several years ago where it wasn't as productive?
I mean, I think we've seen production in the passing game. I mean, look at Marino's, you know, that was 20 years ago or whatever it was, and we're talking about that record now, you know, standing for quite a while, so. And I think it's all a function of execution. I mean, there have been great passers in this league for a long time, great receivers, great tight ends, great runners, great defenders. So, you know, sometimes each year falls a little bit differently. I mean, I don't have a great explanation for it.
As a defensive coach, though, with all the rules that have been made the last few years, would Marino have thrown for far more yards? If Marino is playing now, do you think he would have thrown for 5,500 yards?
I mean, ifs and nuts were candy and nuts. Ifs and buts were candy and nuts, every day would be Christmas. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
Help, though? I mean,
which rules are you talking about?
Of, you know, not being able to hit quarterbacks and how receivers, you can't really touch them as, you know, you can't touch them further downfield.
Rule's been, like, those rules have been in place for, like, 15 years.
Your emphasis on the recent years.
But it's not a rule, you know. Look, talk to the people who make the rules, and they do all those studies. Trust me, they do all those studies. They know how long each game was. In every year was played, the length of time, the amount of penalties, the amount of yardage, the amount of rushing yardage, the yards per carry, the yards per completion, like all that's been studied like very thoroughly by people a lot smarter than I am. So, I mean, I don't really know. Just trying to get our team ready for Buffalo, team we didn't do very well against last year. So, like, I'm just thinking about Buffalo. Like, I don't know all the statistics and all the rules and, like, you know, trying to solve all the world's problems in the passing game. Just trying to solve ours against Buffalo.
Interesting that Marino's record stood until...
Yeah, it's a great story, and I'm not, you know what, I'm not really... I mean, last time I watched Marino throw, you know, I don't know when that was. So, like, I'm just trying to concentrate on, you know, Buffalo.
You don't think there's anything to the fact that potentially three guys will break that record?
Do I think there's anything to it? What's that mean?
But I mean, what's the...
It's stood for 30 years. No one's done that. Four guys are going to break 5,000 yards. The game is totally different. That's what you get.
Yeah. That's your own right. Go ahead. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'm not an expert. Just trying to get ready for Buffalo, Tom. You know, trying to analyze a passing game over the last 20 years. Like, that's for people a lot smarter than me, like you guys.
Bill, if you had the chance to rest the starters, will you take advantage of that?
We're preparing for this game like we prepared for the last 15.
That's a bit much of a drop-off from Jackson to Spiller. Are they using him in the same way? And is he sort of proving, maybe like Reggie Bush has, that he can play every now?
Yeah, I think Spiller's had, you know, last, whatever it's been, 6 weeks or however long since Fred's been hurt. He's been, you know, more productive than any back in the league. Big plays and consistency. You know, he's picked up right where, you know, Jackson left off, and he's had a tremendous amount of production. It's not all outside. It's a good mix of inside running, outside running. He's broken tackles. He's outrun guys. He's made good decisions in terms of his run reads and things like that. So he's been very productive. Similar to Bush, and you know, a lot of it's come lately. Not that Bush hadn't been productive all year. He has, but I mean, Bush has had some, you know, huge numbers in the last month, and so has Spiller. He's been very impressive, yeah.
Using him as much in the return game, or because of his...
No, the return game's really gone to, you know, Rodgers has taken over the kickoff returns, and he's done a great job. He's leading the league in kickoff returns. He's only been doing it now for, like, the last, whatever it's been, 6 weeks or so, but, you know, his production's way up there, and McKelvin's done punts, and, you know, of course, McKelvin ripped off an 80-yarder last week against Denver, so, you know, I imagine they're pretty happy with what he's doing, but he's looked good back there. Not that Spiller can't return them, but those two guys have really, you know, done a good job of doing the punt kickoff returns, so I'd be surprised if we wouldn't see them, but Spiller's very good at it, too. I mean, I'm sure they could put him back in there, and, you know, he's pretty dynamic, so their return game's solid, and they're and handing the ball to Spiller, however they get it to him, screens, passes, inside runs, outside runs, draw plays. He's been productive on all of them. So he's really done a good job.
Historically, they've been very good in the return game.
Absolutely.
How does that happen when coaches change, personnel changes? I mean, it seems like they always have had an emphasis on that, even though coaching staffs have different...
Well, I think they've only had a couple special teams coaches, but they, you know, I mean, there's different ways to do it, but they've been productive. And it doesn't, I mean, go back to whether it's Terrence McGee and, you know, McKelvin returning kickoffs, and you know, now Rodgers has only been doing it for half a season, but you know, they've been productive in that. Brad Smith earlier in the year, I mean, those guys have been productive. Doesn't matter who's back there, they do a good job of blocking, do a good job of running, their execution's good. You know, they've always, you're right, they've always been good at that. That's been a strength of theirs, and they obviously take a lot of pride in it, and they get a lot of production out of it. You know, they've done as well returning kickoffs over the last decade as anybody.
Do
You know, we see it twice a year, and it just does, seems like no matter who they put back there, the guy's running back to midfield or further.
Coach, all year long, the players have been talking about trying to get close to that 60-minute game. Has there been a game where they've been the closest that this year?
Yeah, well, we've had our moments, you know. We've had some good starts. We've had some good finishes. We've had some good middle of the games. But, you know, I think right now we're just still working toward, you know, trying to play well for 60 minutes. We do that every week. And it's another week for us to try to do that, you know, to get off to a good start, to, you know, to play well through all the downs and all the series and to be able to end the game, whatever the situation is at the end of the game. We don't know what that's going to be, but whatever it is, to be able to end it, you know, situationally the right way, whether we're, you know, coming from behind or playing from ahead or trying to block a kick or trying to return one or trying to cover one or trying to run out the clock or trying to get the ball back or, you know, whatever it is that we, you know, we play that well, that situation well too. So we'll work on all those things, see what comes up, and hopefully we'll be able to do it well.
Coach, what's your favorite part of your defense? What fires you up the most about this unit?
Fires me up the most. Well, I mean, team defense. Team defense, everybody doing their job. Could be a running play or a passing play or whatever it is, but, you know, everybody doing their job. Guys on the edge doing their job. Guys inside doing theirs. Pass coverage, pass rush, run force, whatever it happens to be. But just good team defense. That's when we play our best. And really, no matter what the play is, I think we get good performance out of the entire unit. That will be good. And if we don't, then they'll find areas and we'll break down. So, team defense, easily.
All right, that's Patriot head coach Bill Belichick earlier today. And again, we're trying to get a hold of Tom Curran. He's supposed to join me at some point in the show today. It left several messages, and hopefully Tom will
look. Deal. He's dodging us.
He'll give us a call. Dodging me. I mean, of all people.
Yeah.
You know, he's my man.
I still get the text straight up. Says anytime after 4:30.
Yeah.
Last time I checked, 4:58 after 4:30.
Yeah, and I didn't text him myself today because you said you got a hold of him, so I didn't bother. I figured he would. But again, you know, it started the question that you heard started off with Shalise Manza Young, and kind of innocently enough from the Globe. And I think if Bill had just come out and said, you know, congratulations to Drew Brees, and kind of, you know, give it his usual generic. But what happens is, I understand what Shalise wanted, and I know what Tom wanted in the follow-up. But here's my thinking of getting inside Bill's head and why he didn't want to go down this road. Because what happens is, if he starts talking about, and I'm not, you know, if I heard the PFW guys today saying they were kind of ticked at the way he acted, that people all came out of the press room, they were upset. Except for Ian Rappaport or something, and said everybody was upset and mumbling to themselves about how rude Bill was and this, that, and the other thing. But the way I look at it is, if he starts going down this road about Drew Brees and breaking Marino's record, you know what's going to happen. Because here come the questions. And I know Bill's thinking, he's very smart, he's thinking four or five questions down the road. He starts getting into, politely, if you want, whatever you want to call it, about Drew Brees and Dan Marino. You know what's going to happen. Brady's only 190 yards off that pace. Now you're going to start to get all these questions. Well, if Brady's approaching Drew Brees' record, it's not Dan Marino's record anymore, it's Drew Brees' record, do you, you know, are you going to leave Tom in?
Hell no.
Yeah, I mean, so then you're going to have a whole series of questions about things that are not related to the Buffalo Bills, which Bill just doesn't give a damn about. Now, maybe at the end of the season, he'll talk about the rest, but you know what I'm saying? This is how he's thinking. If he starts talking about Drew Brees and Dan Marino, now Brady's going to come into the equation. You know that's going to happen because he's so close to the record himself. Then you're going to get follow-up questions. Well, if he's close, are you going to leave him into the game? And then you're going to get other questions. Well, are you going to do what Sean Payton did? If it comes down to that, if he's close to Drew Brees' record now, and is Brees out of, you know, now you're scoreboard watching. Is Brees out of the game? Because it's a 1 o'clock game at home against Carolina. Brady's still in. Do you leave Brady in if he's close? I mean, you see what I'm saying? It's like a snowball type of thing, and all of a sudden you're completely off focus about the Buffalo Bills. And I understand some of the media's frustration that it kind of probably could have been resolved real easy. He probably should have just said, you know, I'm just focusing on Buffalo and just kept it at that. You know, I'll talk about records at the end of the year or whatever after the Super Bowl is over. But I understand where he's coming from, because I know that's the line of questioning that was about to happen. It would have been first. It starts off very innocently about three guys ready to break Marino's record. Then that will escalate into Brady playing, how much he's going to play. Is he going to stay in to break the record? Is he going to come out of the game at some point or not come out of the game? If he's close to the record, are you going to do it? Would you do what Sean, even then, not the hypothetical start, would you do what Sean Payton did and leave him in?
Hell no.
If the record was close. So I understand where he's coming from. If you want to, if the constructive criticism I would say is that, first of all, personally, it doesn't bother me what he said to anybody. It never has, because I understand it. It never has. But maybe I just would have said, you know, and, I mean, I thought he answered it at the first part. He said it was about execution. I thought before Shalise and Tom got into it with him, there was another reporter, I'm not sure it was, asked him, and he answered the question. He says, I think we've seen production in the passing game. Look at Dan Marino. That was 20 years ago, whatever it was. We're talking about the record now, standing for quite a while. I think it's all a function of execution. There have been some great passers in this league for a long time, great receivers, great tight ends, great runners, great defenders. Sometimes each year is a little bit differently. I don't have a great explanation for it. Now, what some of these people want him to say was they want him to get into the rules as well and rip the people for the rules. And all I'm saying, I just don't think he wants to get into that kind of discussion at all when they still have what's at stake here. I just know how the man thinks. So nothing. I'm not surprised at that stuff. He looks at that stuff. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. To him, it's a distraction that's going to take away from the focus of the team. That's all. Now, I know you're talking kind of generically about the three quarterbacks, Brady, Breeze, and Rodgers, you know, who will have a chance to break 5,000 yards. One already has. So I'm not sure the type of answer you're looking for other than the one he gave about execution. I mean, if you want him to stand up there and start ripping the rules and are the rules different? I mean, I know he said the rules have been in place all that time. Yes, and we all know that the referees are interpreting the rules. Well, some of them, they have their own. They all have their different interpretation. That's the problem. And is it easier now to pass in this league than it was 15, 20 years ago? I have no question. I mean, it would tell you differently. No question about it. Because the way you can hit the quarterback now has become like the strike zone in baseball, what it's supposed to be. Above the knees to the letters. That's it. So, of course it's easier. You know, of course you get into the fact that athletes now are bigger, stronger, faster, all that stuff, which is true. And like I said, I think kids, and like I said, watching the Pop Warner Championship the other night, I mean, young kids are learning these spread offenses and slinging the ball around all over the place. I just think offenses right now, and how long have I been talking about this? Since week one, that there is no longer that thing about, you know, the 2000, how many times I got to say it, the 2000 Baltimore Ravens defense, the 85 Bears, those days are done. Those days are done. And it would have been real interesting to see the Bears in their peak with the 46 zone. This is what video games are great for, if you can rematch and let the computer play and see what happened. The Bears 85-46 zone against the Patriots, or the Packers, or the New Orleans offense is the way they are now.
That is known as the Bears.
That would be fascinating if you could go back in time and take this Patriot, just say, for instance, because we're at a Patriot, take this Patriot team and play against that 85 Bears team.
Take the 07 Patriots and put them up against the 85.
Well, that too. And that's another. I'm just going by this year. But you're right. The 07 Patriots, you could make a case for the Peyton Manning team of 06. You know, the list is endless. But it's so hard to compare eras. It's why it's tough in any sport to do that. Pitcher would have done in that era, you know, and basketball, the same thing. You know, what would Bill Russell's role in today's NBA? Completely different than it was back in the day. It would be completely different. He would be considered basically a power forward. Now, does that mean he wouldn't have the skill set to rebound and do all the great things he did? Of course not. But he would technically be like a power forward in this day and age in the NBA. It's not to say he's still not, wouldn't be great in a Hall of Famer, as I still think he's the greatest one of the top three or four of all time. But it's tough to compare eras. So, I mean, I understand the media's frustration today with a little bit of that, because I think they wanted him to just kind of acknowledge But again, I'm not sure if you think about it logically and think where all these questions would have led down the road, which basically I know at the end would have been, would you have pulled what Sean Payton did and left Brady in or leave Brady in like he did with Brees to get the record? You know that's where this was going to go eventually. I know how these people think, and I understand, but you also have to know that he is never, ever, ever going to answer questions like that. Because it's a distraction taken away from the task at hand, which is only one thing, beat Buffalo. The rest of it will take care of itself. All right, quick break. When we come back, more of the Pete Shepherd Show. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Also, Facebook me, Pete Shepherd, PETESHEPPARD. And you can call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Back with more of my show coming up next on patriots.com. We do it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Back after this.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of a Ryzen 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone. Glad you could make it to the house. Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you.
Hazelnut, please.
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' Coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
I love.
Love.
Love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time. 2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice. And football. And baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
And back here, final 47 minutes or so here at the Pete Shepherd Show here on a Wednesday. We're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. You can Facebook me as well at PETESHEPPARD. And the Ace Ticket Hotline, of course, is 508-298-0398. Let's head to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now. Check in with my buddy Tommy Curran of CSNNE, Quick Slants, and a whole bunch of other shows. He is everywhere. Today, my friend, you were rabble-rousing in that press room. What's the matter with you?
What do you mean rabble-rousing?
I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing you.
Nah, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of things. You have the preeminent coach of his era, perhaps the greatest coach in any American sport, maybe the greatest NFL coach of all time, and he was kind of pretending that 5,000-yard seasons happen all the time. Nothing unusual about it. And I thought it was kind of dubious, and it was an exercise that we didn't have to really take part in, so wondered why we have to do that sometimes.
Well, you know, my feeling, I don't know if you were just listening before, but right before we went to break, my feeling is this, and I understand how you guys feel about it. And I also understand, when I was watching it, as I do every Wednesday, I wait for you guys to come on Comcast, and that's I watch it. And obviously they don't show the media, they didn't show your questions, they didn't show the animation of some of the media. But my feeling is this, Tom, and you may think I'm totally wrong, off base here, but I think he's thinking, if I start to go down the road here, the next series of questions, here we go. It's going to escalate into how much is Brady going to play? If the record is still there of a breeze, is he going to stay in there? Would you do what Sean Payton did if necessary and leave Brady in there if he was only 35 yards off Breeze's mark? They both have 1 o'clock games. Are you going to be scoreboard watching if Breeze has? You know what I'm saying? You know how this guy thinks. He's thinking four and five, six
saying.
Questions down the road. I think he just feels I don't want to be distracted at all. Now, in your defense, and you and Schlesi's defense, you know, I think if he just came out, I thought, to be honest with you, I thought he kind of answered the question earlier in his own way by saying it's just good execution for the most part, but.
The point is simply that he is trying to pretend that a record set in 1984 that had never been challenged happens all the time. It doesn't. And that's the problem that I have. For whatever reason, in 2011, he has been very difficult with the local media. Very difficult. And he's done it time and time again. I've covered the team, obviously, since 97. I've been in almost every one of his press conferences. I know the tenor of the press conferences. I know his mindset. Yeah. I know how it works.
I know. Well, give me an example.
He's exceedingly difficult.
Okay, give me an example of being difficult.
Okay, today I asked him about Wasaka Police. I have asked him, certainly, 1,300 questions over the course of time. There are ways that I know he will answer me when I'm not on his crap list.
All right.
I'm on his crap list now, and it dates back to my asking him a question about defensive backs. See, he has a problem with criticism of Bill Belichick, the general manager, and he has a problem with being called on mistakes that have been made financially, draft-wise, free agent-wise, and I think it's fair game, but he's bristled at it to the level at which
All right, well, you just mentioned...
People are no longer seen as friendlies.
You just mentioned Aplete today. Now, he answered that somebody asked him about it, and he said he's going to, you know, probably play fullback and special teams for the most part. So what
Pete,
was...
I asked the question. I was sitting there.
Yeah. So...
And he usually goes into far more detail on things like that. Again, I'll say it again. I've asked him 12 to 1,300 questions, I would guess, over the period of time. And I know when he's being short and curt and difficult, and I know when he's being expansive, and I know when he's going to answer the question. Okay. I know what's going on. It's clear.
All right, okay. I get you, but on that particular example, though, how much?
Pete, you asked me for an example. I gave you.
Okay.
Another example, Pete.
Well, yeah, give me another example.
Okay, I asked him after the Pittsburgh game why something about the corners, and he asked me to provide him an example. I provided him an example. He didn't like the example I provided him, and you know, dismissed that. You know, I can go through the transcripts if you want to.
Well, no, I see them. You don't have to go. I see them every day.
The person who called into your show, you ask them a question, I give you the answer, and then you tell me what the answer is, which is what's going on. If you don't like the answer, you're providing me with your answer.
All right, no, that's fine. But let me just, on the question you asked him today about police.
I don't want to talk about the Lusaka police question because it was really not germane. You asked me for an example.
Okay, but...
I gave you one.
I don't know how much in depth more he's supposed to talk about him other than saying fullback and special teams. I mean, he's not going to start. You know that he's a backup. So I mean,
okay, Pete, let's play along.
What is he supposed to say? What situations are going to come in on third down or what?
Pete, stop talking.
Go ahead.
We're bringing him in. We're going to see what he can do. You've seen him play with Miami, a tremendous blocker. He's done a lot of good things for them. Did a lot of good things for them in the special teams play as well. You know, we've had a lot of respect for him as a player. We've kept. I mean, just general.
All right, I got you. I understand. That's a good point. I got you.
Single monosyllabic responses. Again, I've sat in. I know when he is curt and when he's being difficult.
I'm with you.
Probably sat in more of those than anybody else, perhaps except for Mike Reese, maybe including Mike Reese. So I know what's up. So, I mean, if you want to defend the way he has pissed on the local media for the entire year, that's up to you. You know, take an instance when I asked him at the beginning of the season, why are you going to 4-3 as opposed to 3-4? What's the difference? What do you see from this team that's different? And he, you know, pisses down his leg on that answer, and then he goes on Sirius NFL radio and explains to them exactly why he's doing it, because he thought it was easier to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, no, like I said, I understand your frustrations, a lot of it. I do. I understand it. But I'm saying it's not...
You understand that it's a fact, not a made-up situation.
Oh, I'm not... First of all, as much as we have fun together and everything else, look, you are a great reporter, and I respect you tremendously, believe me. And I know exactly what you're saying. Now that you just explained about just the police thing, I understand, because there have been plenty of other times where they picked up people where he has gone into in-depth explanations about why they got that particular player. So I totally get it. I understand it. I understand it completely. Nothing ever surprises me. And I think
here's the thing. There is an exercise that he is responsible for, which is a press conference. He can conduct it in whatever way he sees fit. But if he tries to have us suspend reality and sit there and nod and say, oh, yeah, you're right. No, this happens all the time, 5,000 yards. I think that's disingenuous, insulting, and disrespectful. I really do.
Well,
I've heard people say the same thing in different times, and I've disagreed with them. In this instance, this year, I think he's been disrespectful in the number of times he's told us white is black is white, and expected us to just nod and say, oh, okay.
All right, well, that's fair. I mean, I understand. I mean, I got you. I mean, I see all the press guy. I hear him every day. We play him on the show, all that stuff. I mean, I totally get it. All right, let's move on from let's talk about.
I love you, Pete.
I know I love you. You crazy bastard. let's talk about this game and as far as Tom Brady dinged up left shoulder and still to me, Tommy, he's going to play the majority of this game unless they jump out to a 40-0 lead in the first half.
I would think so, too. Best case scenario for them would be the game to play out almost identically to the way it played out with the Buffalo Bills with the Miami Dolphins in the finale last year, where they get up 38-0, mm-hmm. and Brian Hoyer is in at the start of the fourth quarter, and you're just trying to get Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, his 1,000 yards, et cetera. Again, I'll give you that as a for instance. We don't care about individual stats, yet at the end of games, we're making sure that, you know, Benny gets his 1,000 yards, Rob Gronkowski gets his receiving touchdowns. We can't have it both ways. But anyway, go ahead.
No, look, I understand. I do think it could be fascinating, depending on – I think it's interesting that Carolina is playing at New Orleans in a 1 o'clock game along with Brady. And, you know, is it possible? Could you just see a back-and-forth scenario? Breeze only plays a half and Brady surpasses, you know, Marino and then surpasses Breeze. How hysterical is that going to be?
I think it would be, but I'll tell you what. And the Patriots would not sign off on that, and I think that Brady would not sign off on that, but I think that Breeze and Sean Payton would pursue that because they are already on record as what we saw Monday as having said that that was very important to them. I could see the Patriots just folding their tent on it and letting Breeze chase it or trying to set the standard, which would, of course, in turn make them look a little ridiculous. But, you know, I mean, I'm on board with a lot of the things the Patriots do and the way they answer, the way they just their general atmosphere that they portray and what they're all about. I respect it. It's brought them a lot of success, and it's brought me a lot of success in transfer from covering the team. But I just haven't enjoyed the reality distortion. All that said, I could see them sticking to their guns and saying, I don't care if he throws for 103 yards or 403 yards. He's coming out when the game's secure.
Well, let's get into some of the playoff picture here. I think the Patriots will win. They'll get the number one seed. I do think Baltimore is going to lose, as they usually do on the road at Cincinnati, and I think Pittsburgh's going to beat Cleveland. So I think the 2-5 will flip-flop, which sets up a very interesting scenario, depending on, you know, which Raider team, which Denver team, which I think is going to lose, by the way, again, to Orton and to Kansas City Chiefs. It's just a question of, I don't know what Raider team or San Diego team is going to show up in that game. So Denver could back into the playoffs, or it could be the Raiders. Either way, Pittsburgh at Denver, Pittsburgh at Oakland, and that, and I guess it could be Cincinnati if they win at Houston. That's certainly a distinct possibility. But how do you see it all shaping up here going, heading into the, at least the first round?
Well, I think really Baltimore and Pittsburgh are so far above those teams that we're talking about that will challenge for the, you know, AFC West and the other wild card, that it would be hard for me to believe that they'll lose those games. It's just the pain of it is for the Steelers that they will end up being a wild card and having to go on the road to face one of the divisional winners, you know, most likely, as you said, Oakland or
Denver, yeah.
Oakland or Denver, but I still think that they'll be able to overpower either of those teams, really. What fascinates me, Pete, is, you know, where would the Patriots be best off? Who would they be best off playing against? My feeling is they'd probably be best off dealing with the Baltimore Ravens. You know, Anquan Boldin's out. Flacco's been inconsistent. Mm-hmm. The tight end combo is pretty tough there with Pitta and Dixon.
Yep.
But I still think that but then you flip it to Pete and look at Pittsburgh and the difficulties their offensive line has had and the fact that Roethlisberger's banged up. The Patriots are really in a position where they have to screw things up, and that could certainly happen, but I think that they have to screw things up in order to not go to the Super Bowl.
No, I'm with you. And the Ravens team to me is interesting, and I was making an analogy, see if you agree, earlier. I think that the Ravens team this year reminds me a lot of the 2009 Patriots. And believe it or not, when they played that game, when I was back at EEI, I picked Baltimore to win that game because I just not like the way things were going. I didn't like the way the balloons seemed to be deflated after Welker went down, and I just didn't like what I was seeing. Road woes, just like this Baltimore team has. I mean, it is really talk about a dichotomy of watching the Ravens play on the road or play at home. It's unbelievable, and I just think any team that comes here this year, this particular year, I'm not talking about last year, the year before, this particular year, I think a team is going to have to put up 30 to win, and I don't see any of those teams being able to do it.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always had a problem with, actually all season long, is the notion that a direct line connects the 2009 team from in January to the 2010 team in January to the 2011 team. They're separate teams. They're their own entities.
Yes.
You know, and to try and say, well, they haven't won in the playoffs since the AFC Championship game, that really is moot. It's not the same team by any stretch. I think that those games, the Baltimore loss that you mentioned, you know, you could smell it. It wasn't a team of great character. It wasn't a team of great mental toughness. The 2010 team, they caught a bad break. They played poorly on a day the Jets played well, and they made some stupid mistakes and shot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
I think if they played that team 10 times, they'd beat it 7.5.
Mm-hmm.
But this year's team is much more emotionally and mentally tough, and I think that they're going to be a hell of a lot more difficult to defend. it really comes down to the quarterback and how amped up Brady gets at the beginning of games, because I think, Pete, that has been a little bit of his undoing in the latter part of his career, is he tries to will the team to success instead of letting the game come to him just a little bit.
No, I think that's fair. I thought it was, you know, when I was watching the game with my wife at home, my new wife, Elaine. So as soon as it was announced pregame, 5 minutes before that kickoff started, that light was down. And before you even knew about me, I said, Elaine, this is going to take at least a quarter, probably two, to get going. I said, I got a bad feeling about the start of this game. And because you know, Tom, you're an X and O guy. You know how difficult it is to lose a couple of offensive linemen starters right off the bat. And as Matt Light said yesterday, and I was thinking the same thing, it is tough. Guys aren't having practiced that in those positions that week. And even though they have a lot of depth and they have played, you know, extremely well. I mean, you go back to Copen being out, you know, Wendell, McDonald, you know, Cannon has been, I think, a tremendous story. It was going to take a little while for them to start to get it. And I just don't understand why some of the masses and especially some of the local and national media that just don't get that, how devastating that is at the start of a game.
I agree. And I also would be curious to see, and no one really bothered because it was the Miami side of things and they had bigger fish to fry, but Mike Nolan, as Greg Bedard detailed, you know, blitzed a ridiculous amount during that game.
Yep.
And I wonder how much he said on the sidelines, wait a minute, lights out? Let's blitz the hell out of these
guys. Course. Of course he did.
I wonder if he scrapped his game plan on that side. It would certainly make sense. And, you know, it was a good job. But I'll tell you, that's what makes Brady so good, when he keeps his emotions in check. And he did keep his emotions in check on Sunday. You know, he was getting battered. He was getting knocked around. He didn't get pissed off. He kept himself under wraps. You know, Woodhead blew a blitz pickup. Mankins was playing out of position there at the left tackle spot, and there were mistakes, but he didn't flip, and I think that made a big, it has a big impact on the rest of that team, what Brady's tenor is during a game.
What do you think is going to happen with the Jets? And obviously Schottenheimer is going to go. There's no doubt about that. There's talk about Sanchez. But I really be honest with you, because I think if there's a lot of other organizations or a guy that wasn't such a great person for the media to quote all the time, but Rex Ryan finishing 8-8, which I think is very distinct possibility if they lose in Miami on Sunday. How come no one's talking about firing his fat ass? Because at the very least, Tom, ownership has got to sit down with him and tell him that's got to stop. I mean, he's becoming a cartoon character and it's embarrassing.
Well, I guess the hard thing is, if you look at the simple facts of it and not all the dressing that he puts on it and all the garniture, and say, okay, what have they done? They've gone to two straight AFC championship games after having been simply a one-and-done playoff team only once in the Eric Mangini era. So if the team finishes 8-8, you know, it's an understandable dip for a team that has gone to two AFC championship games. But it is. It's embarrassing, I think, for him to continue to write checks with his mouth that his team can't cash. And I asked him this at the combine this year when everyone was, you know, lapping up the words of Rex and his guarantees. You know, when does it start, Rex, to just be a whole bunch of empty words that you're dropping on everybody so that they can go finish their stories and they don't mean anything anymore? And that's really what they have to answer. When does this guy get tuned out as just the guy on the corner challenging everybody to a fight when people just are walking past them and not paying attention anymore?
Yeah, it's interesting. And before I let you go, and thanks so much again, Tom Curran, CSNNE, and you're on Quick Slants. Is when on Thursdays or Tuesdays? I forget. You're,
sure,
you're
all over. It's
on Thursday at 7, and it's repeated. You're on. You and Mary do a great job, and the breakdowns that you do. But let's talk about the NFC a little bit. And I think Denver's a completely fraud team going back to the AFC. I think they're a completely fraud team. I think they have been for 8 weeks. I think national media was completely lazy and looking at the inept offenses that Denver had to go up against, the horrible coaching and the bad quarterbacks they had to face. I think they got lucky facing the bad part of the schedule. And I still think if Orton were playing at that time with that schedule, maybe things might have been a little different. But getting to the NFC, I've seen a lot of the San Francisco games. You know, you see with the red zone, it's fantastic. And you go back and watch highlights. I don't know. I've seen the teams they've beaten. I've seen, you know, how they played good defense against ball and that kind of thing. But they have not faced New Orleans. They have not faced the Patriots. They have not faced Green Bay. Look, the numbers look good on paper, Tom, but when push comes to shove, I don't know. I'm still not sold on them either.
I'm not either. And I like Alex Smith, and I think that he is a very good example of the fact that, as you mentioned, the national media is very knee-jerk. Mm-hmm. And I disagree with you on Denver, but that's a different story for a different time. But the national media, you know, decided that Alex Smith was a bust. Well, he wasn't a bust. He had good games under his belt early in his career, and he could play the position. I'll tell you what, Colt McCoy is going to be a good quarterback in the league, too, if they give him a friggin' break.
Well, if Harrison stops hitting him.
If he stops hitting by Harrison, that'll change everything. But I think that San Francisco will be one of those teams, despite the win over Pittsburgh, which I thought was a terrific, you know, feather in their cap. I think that when you look at that team, it's going to have to be playoff steel. Now, it has an exceptional coach that I think infuses that team with a level of confidence and preparation that maybe a lot of other teams don't get. I think Harbaugh is going to be good for a long time. But I do think the playoffs will be a different recipe. What I'm fascinated to see in the NFC is that the best team in the NFL right now is the Saints. They're playing better offensively and defensively, that combination, than any other team. But they're going to have to travel to Green Bay. And how in God's name is that offense going to be able to travel successfully into Lambeau in late January and put up 35 points? I don't think it'll happen. So it's really looking like a Packers-Patriots Super Bowl to me.
Well, too, but do not forget this, because more than likely they're going to have to play the Falcons again next week or in two weeks. And the Falcons should have beaten them the first game. If it wasn't for Sean Payton actually coached badly in that game, and Mike Smith coached worse late in that game in overtime. Mm-hmm. Atlanta should have won that game. And usually the road team has, I think it won six straight in that series up until last Monday night. So I'm not sure. I know it looks great for New Orleans right now, but I'm not willing to say that's an absolute 100% lock that New Orleans wins that game against the Falcons. They play pretty close. Usually, they're pretty close. So within 3 or 4 points, those games are. I'm not sure it's going to be as easy in a couple of weeks for the Falcons. But I understand what you're saying. I agree with you on the Saints. If they have to go to Lambeau Field, especially, you know, also with that whole thing, the dome team going out in the cold weather. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Packers secondary has given up tons of yardage, too. Net yardage, which I hate that stat, but that's the fact they have. So maybe, if they can catch a break, and maybe they can create a turnover or two. I mean, maybe that game ends up being closer than it is. But my preseason pick was the Patriots New Orleans, so I'm kind of rooting for that just because it's just, you know, to beat my thump my chest a little bit. But I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens.
And if you look back, you know, the year the Saints did go to the Super Bowl, they had to win on the road at Chicago to get there, which, you know, we speculated was going to be difficult for them to do, and they took care of business there. I'm not saying they can't. It's just going to be interesting to me because I really don't think, Pete, that anybody is playing better than them. Do you agree with me right now that on, you know, December 28th, the team that is the most efficient offensively and defensively, the upper echelon teams, would have to be the New Orleans Saints?
I think it's close because both the Patriots and them have won 7 games in a row. And
yeah, but I mean, who looks better doing it?
Well, that can be subjective. I know if you take away that the Patriots are down by, you know, by 17. I don't know. I guess it's a coin flip.
It's not the team that gets behind 17-0 and 16-7 and on the road to Washington 3 weeks in a row. Is that the team that looks better than the Saints field?
No, but again,
you could just say the Saints look a little bit better right now.
I'll give you they look if you want. I'll give you they look a little bit better. But it's not, I mean, okay. I mean, they had a close matchup they beat Atlanta in overtime, as I said, back in November. Then they had, you know, the Giants. I mean, the Giants were just playing awful. The most impressive win.
Patriots have been life or death. They've been down in the first quarter 3 straight weeks.
Okay, and they've come back to win just from a slight.
To ask you, not what happened. The Saints are playing better.
I will tell you I think the Saints are playing a little bit better right now. They are playing a little bit better.
You're cuckoo.
I'm not cuckoo. You're cuckoo.
You're a little cuckoo.
You're cuckoo. But I think I wonder how long do you think Breeze will play on Sunday against Carolina?
Oh, until that thing is at 54. They are such stat whores up there, down there, it seems like. They care about that crap.
Well, I think Carolina's going to put us some points in that. Cam Newton's going to put us some points in that game, too. I don't think that would be a cakewalk. I really don't.
Who do you think's better, Cam Newton or Tim Tebow?
Oh, please. It's not even debatable. Cam Newton, about any GM would take Cam Newton over Tim Tebow 100 out of 100. It's not even debatable.
GMs, right?
Tebow is going to...
GMs have all the answers. These guys who get fired for all the time. All these GMs are smart now.
There's a place in the NFL for Tebow. There's no question. There is a place for him. It is not going to be, and it's never going to be, as a consistent, good starting quarterback. I'm sorry.
He will be a top 10 quarterback.
He will not. You and Skip Bayless are just not, you're not living, you're living in a dream world.
Don't even put the same sentence. I know how to turn on the TV. He will be a top 10 quarterback. He takes care of the football.
I will respectfully disagree, my friend, from St. Anselm. But anyway, hey, Tom, thanks a lot. Always a pleasure. And we'll talk to you down the road. And I hope this year I get to see you in Indianapolis.
I'm sure you will. Hey, we're going to have an event January 9th over at the Renaissance Patriot Place. It'll be a pre-playoff party. Why don't you come on over? It's going to be in the evening. You'll see the invitation.
All right. Awesome. Thank you so much. I will definitely be there.
All right. We're going to have some people over. So make sure your folks hear about that, and we'll see you over there.
All right, my friend. Thanks, Tom.
All right, take care.
Tom E. Curran of CSNNE, that's Comcast Sports in New England. He's on his Quick Slant show with Mary. It's Mary Pilotti that he has on. She does a great job reading the emails. It's a good, great show. And Tom is a very objective guy. The fact that he has to stand next to Borges after games sometimes and not punch him in the face is, I don't know how he restrains. You know, certainly I respect Tom. I understand where he's coming from as far as Bill goes. I understand. And when you get on Bill's caca list, that's what happens. And, it's not fair. It's not right. And it's one thing that I think Tom has a valid point as far as having some legitimate constructive criticism about, Bill going nationally sometimes and explaining things more than he does to the local media. But what can I tell you? Everybody has look, I get it. I think for the most part, I think he answers the questions that he feels are relevant, And I just think when it comes down to today, when you start talking about passing yards and records, it's just he's just not going to go down that road. He's just not going to go down that road. Anyway, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and get your thoughts. Get some emails and phone calls as well. Email me, webradio@patriot.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Back with the final segment of the Pete Shepherd Show after this.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Droid.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better!
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee?
Yeah.
Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price of participation may vary.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Here, final segment of the Pete Shepherd Show here for a Wednesday. Thanks to Tommy Karn from CSNNE for joining me last hour, or last few minutes ago anyway. Got some Facebook messages, some email me at webradio@patriots.com. Still have the last couple of minutes here to phone me, and then we're going to let you hear. I'm going to close out the show with Tom Brady's press conference early today. Had a couple of interesting things to say. This is from Gina Daytona. Says, hi, Pete and Kevin. Colt McCoy is still out and cannot play because of the James Harrison cheap headshot. I know the Cleveland fans will be fired up about this game and want to see some sort of retribution against Harrison. Do you think Harrison should be looking over his shoulder all day and watching out for someone to take him out? I can see Josh Cribbs crack blocking down on Harrison and blowing his knees out. The next week, Harrison is on ESPN sitting next to Colt McCoy as guest analyst. On the show, for no reason, McCoy turns to Harrison and says, James, was it all worth it? I mean, have you learned anything from all of this? Unquote. Harrison starts crying and says, why don't the other kids want to play with me? Okay. Okay. If that's how you feel. Noel in Denver says, I love your show, Pete. Being a Vietnam vet and 66 years young, I have watched football for more than 60 years as I have other sports. The athletes today are bigger, stronger, and faster than they have been, so it's let's compare oranges with oranges. If only Jack Nicklaus had today's technology. Played golf with Vito Bay-Pirilli when I first landed in Denver, and on the back nine, he said, let's take a picture because you remind me of my old center, and I weigh 210 soaking wet. I feel you're right about the Pats, and we can only beat ourselves because we are as good as anyone in the league and a great deal better than most when we execute the Denver Broncos. Don't you love the consistency of Bill Belichick? How about those writers asking some creative questions when you interview Bill Belichick, questions that pertain to the team and the next matchup? This is what the real fans care about on a scale of 1 to 10. How important do you feel home field advantage for the playoffs is for this year? Why do you feel we picked up Polite? Well, they picked him up because, they, you know, for fullback, he's going to play fullback in special teams. And there's obviously something there that Bill saw. And, again, he did not go into great in-depth detail about it today as he has in the past because he's either ticked off at Tom or whatever it is. But there's got to be a reason why. He's going to play fullback, backup, and special teams. Facebook clip says, did Tom just say Tebow will be a top 10 quarterback because he takes care of the football? How many interceptions did he throw last week? Yeah, four. Exactly. I don't think Tim Tebow will ever be a top 10 quarterback. Absolutely never. What else we got here? I know we got a couple new ones. Noel comes on to say, nobody wants to play the Patriots right now. They can only beat themselves. No one will beat them in the playoffs this year. My grandson asked me why I was worried about the Jets last year. I am not worried this year. Tebow will be as much as a top 10 quarterback as Sanchez is or will be. You cannot will him into a great quarterback. Brady is a good quarterback as there is. And let us not forget how fortunate we are to have him. Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft, go Patriots, Noel in Denver. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I thought it was absolutely absurd when Tebow and Brady's stats were being compared, even talked about in the same sentence, just because the touchdown interception ratio was somewhat similar, although they always forgot to put up completion percentages. Brady was like 65% and Tebow's was like 48%. They also didn't put up the fact that the Patriots had and Brady beat much better teams, and the quality of competition back in 2001 was so much different than the seven bimbo-type teams that Tebow went up against. I mean, not even remotely close. Go back and pull up the schedule of the Patriots in that stretch of eight games and go look what the Broncos had to face. And they're, I mean, not even remotely close. And again, Facebook me, Pete Shepard, PETSHEPPARD. Lucas says, will you ever invite Woody Page or Michael Irvin on one of your shows? No, I had Woody Page on. We had Woody Page on when I was at EEI at the Super Bowl. He sat with us, I think it was 03 in Houston. And he had said some real nasty things a couple weeks earlier, and I said on the air, I said, I hope you see this guy in Radio Row. And Woody's actually, he's a very nice guy. And he sat down, and he took the heat. We let him have it. All of us let him have it, especially me. And but he's one of those guys, and he admits it. He just says stuff he throws crap on the wall and see what sticks. It's unfortunate, but there are a lot of guys, especially all the media guys that are on TV nationally, that do that stuff. Lucas goes on to say, by the way, I say Baltimore loses to Cincy. The Feed Eaters lose to the Fish Sticks. Orton beats Sarah Palin and Pitt wins. But mark this down partially. I am not quite sure at 110% my AFC Championship pick is Patriots versus the Raiders. Really? That would be something. Wouldn't that be something? That would be here. Well, that would be unbelievable if that were the case. All right, tell you what we're going to do. Tomorrow now, we'll be back. B-Lo will be with us again tomorrow. Right here on Patriots.com on the Pete Shepard Show in the first hour, as always, because there's still some fantasy stuff to talk about, and there's still some leagues out there that are still going on. So B-Lo will be back. And then we got, did you say Mark Kelso's coming on tomorrow? Mark Kelso from Buffalo Bills Radio. He will join us. Remember him? Great player, great special teams player for the Bills for many years. So we'll have Mark on, and we'll get into the Patriots and Bills a little bit in the second hour. Of course, all your emails and predictions on what you think is going to happen specifically with the Patriots, with the Jets, and if they make the playoffs or not, Cincinnati, the Giants and Dallas game, and also obviously Kansas City and Denver. So lots to talk about tomorrow here on the Pete Shepard Show. But we close out today with Patriot quarterback Tom Brady.
Thank you. be honored by your teammates?
Oh, it's a very nice thing for your peers and coaches to name you to the team. We have a lot of guys joining us, so it's always pretty cool. But we have other plans, hopefully, and got a big game this week. Could really put ourselves in a good position if we win it. So it's a team we lost to before, and got to go out and play well.
Tom, back a long while ago, when you were in high school and college, did you ever see yourself passing 5,000 yards in the season?
I mean, you don't think about it much. You don't think about touchdowns or yards or, you know, what I like to think about is our offensive production, and if we're getting the ball in the end zone, if we're winning games, if, you know, we're building on week to week and our performance, if we're getting better over the course of the season, that's, I think, things that are probably most on my mind. So I really don't, records or anything like that, really, in a team sport, to me, there's just not any emphasis on those, because it's, you know, we're trying to win, team awards. That's certainly what you subscribe to when you become a member of a team.
What frustrates you the most about
that? Well, we had some great opportunities. We had a pretty good lead there in the second quarter, and we turned the ball over before halftime. That really hurt us. I think they've really done a great job scoring points off turnovers and getting a bunch of turnovers, and a lot of their wins, they get a lot of turnovers. They certainly take advantage of bad offensive football, which we played plenty of that our first game. I think it was just a very frustrating day because we didn't really play to the level of our expectation. They took advantage of it. They have some very skilled players. I think guys that if you make a mistake, they're ready to capitalize, especially the guys in the secondary. And hopefully there's no repeat performance.
Obviously, when you lose that game, everyone sort of plays bad. But you have four picks. Does that do anything for you going forward? Does that kind of mean drive at this point in your career? Like, does that kind of help going forward? Because you really haven't turned the ball very much in the second half of the year at all.
Well, I think as a team, we've done a much better job of that. And it's been very important to us winning games is the turnover margin, and we've been getting them on our defense, and we haven't been giving it up much. So it's, when you turn the ball over four times in a game, it's damn near impossible to win. It really is. And especially if you're not getting it from the other team. So you put yourself in a hole like that on the road against a team that can score points, I mean, you're going to have a pretty tough time winning. And we found that out the hard way. As a quarterback, you know, you're never going to stop pulling the trigger. You just got to make good decisions with the football. And that's really what it comes down to, interceptions.
What's it like preparing this week, knowing that the offensive line is in flux? Logan may or may not play. Obviously, Matt couldn't go last week. What's it like for you to prepare, knowing that this week the offensive line might be a lot different?
The great part, honestly, is I don't worry about it much. I really don't. It's not a concern. I think last week was just different because, you know, it happened so quickly. Just before the game, we realized Matt wouldn't play, and then obviously Logan getting injured. So not that I worried about it much then either, because I didn't, but we were just trying to scramble to figure out the things, about the position the guys would play and so forth. But, you know, this week, hopefully we have a better idea. Hopefully we don't have a similar type of situation. You like to be able to prepare the way that you're ultimately going to play, and not really scramble around there at the 11th hour to try to, you know, get guys in certain positions. So hopefully we have a good week of practice. We need to have a good week of practice, and hopefully that'll lead to, you know, good performance on Sunday.
What do you attribute the explosion in the past numbers to? I mean, Marino's record is before, almost 30 years later, three guys have possibly break that. Is it
I'm not sure. I mean, Coach Belichick could probably speak to that more than I.
No, he didn't.
Well, then there's not much I could say if he can't say it. So I have no idea. I really don't. I mean, you just, for a quarterback, you try to throw the open guy. You got guys that catch and run with the ball, or you know, the strength of your team may be passing it, but ultimately it's about production. It's not about passing yards or rushing yards or third down percentage. It's about points, you know, getting the ball in and the red area, converting on third down so you have opportunities to get the ball in the red area, or having big plays. So it all leads to the same thing. There's a lot of different ways to get it done. You look at a lot of different offenses in the league, and some teams run it, some teams throw it, some teams play action, some teams spread them out, some teams pack them in, some teams, you know, it's just all the shape of your roster and the things that you think you can do to take advantage of what you think the defense can't do.
People look at what the Colts have done, but in some ways, the timing and read offense that you guys use where the play is not clear to after the snap, when you're in the second and third, that can drop sometimes. Has the fact that a play can morph during the play kind of expanded through the league where it's made it that much more difficult to defend? You know, the read of the line has changed, so now you have to read as a defensive player while the play's going on.
Sure, and it goes both ways, though, too, because there's, you know, a lot of defensive plays that change after the snap as well. So it's definitely a chess game out there, and the safeties are trying to mess with the quarterback, and the quarterback's trying to look off safeties, and, you know, the linebackers are faking blitzes, and, you know, they're screwing with the offensive line protection calls. So it's just, that's why it's hard to execute really well for 60 minutes, because if you're doing things that are working, they're going to adjust. And then if they adjust and then you don't adjust, then, you know, they're gonna kind of stem what you're trying to do. So it's just constantly trying to morph into something else, either over the course of a game or the course of a season, because they're going to figure out the things you do well and try to stop those things.
Mark Dondero, WCBI-TV, Columbus, Mississippi. Happy New Year. Can you just do me a favor and talk a little bit about Ben Jarvis Green Ellis as a teammate?
Yeah, well, Benny's been here for his fourth year, and he's a great person, a great teammate, works his tail off, he's a very good running back, he's been very productive, very consistent and durable, he's got a great attitude, he's kind of everything you look for in a running back. He's a fun guy to be around.
Do you ever look up and see, like, Breeze go for big numbers or Rodgers go for big numbers? And is there every kind of a mutual admiration? Because it's kind of a special season to have so many guys with a chance to crack back out of the offense. Do you ever look up and see every kind of mutual admiration for quarterbacks that you put up those numbers?
Yeah, well, you, not necessarily, you know, for yards or anything like that, or just more of the way that they handle the game, they manage the game, they make their reads, they make their throws, their technique. You know, you're always trying to learn. I don't care whether you're in your 20th year, your first year, you're trying to grow as a player and become better, you know, each week as a player. So you never want to see yourself regress. So you're always trying to learn and pick up new things, and certainly watching Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers, certainly, and Peyton Manning, guys that I've watched year after year that play at a very consistent level. You try to take some things from their game and use them in yours.
Yeah, some people would find it hard to believe that a quarterback like you would kind of look at somebody else and say, I want that out of their game. But how often does that happen when you look at a quarterback like Rodgers and say, oh, maybe I can use that? Or you look at Breeze and say, maybe I can use that? Or how often does that happen? Or does it happen at all?
Yeah, it certainly does. Yeah, you know, you watch the way that, like I said, they command their offense. And like I said, there's some things that they'll be able to do that I'll never be able to do. And you accept those things and you try to still, you know, use what you have in your ability or your mental ability to be able to get your team in the end zone. Because ultimately that's what it's about. It's not about your 40 speed or your, you know, how far you can throw the football. It's about how well you can command the offense to move the ball down the field on a consistent basis to score more points than the other team. There's a lot of different ways to do that.
Communication with you guys, or do you guys kind of just do your own thing? Have you talked to anybody about the season, like Rodgers or Brees?
No, we pretty much stick to ourselves. We don't give away the goods too easy.
Tom, can you talk a little bit about the opportunity you guys have to win in the top spot in the AFC? What that would mean for you going forward?
Well, it's not something that we've talked about at all. You know, I think what we've talked about is trying to beat a Buffalo team that's coming here and always plays us tough, and you know, a team that beat us earlier in the year. So we're not thinking about anything beyond this weekend. And I, you know, I keep saying that every week. I know you guys probably think I'm full of, you know, full of crap, but you know, it's a very short-term focused team, and we try to just stay focused on the present, and that's trying to have good practices and ultimately be prepared for our game on Sunday. Thank you.
All right. Hey there, all you middlemen! Throw away your fancy clothes! And why are you out there?
Pete Shepherd! Pete Shepherd! The Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.